Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat 839 up 15, July 819 down 5.5. Soft May wheat 698 down 7.5, July 705¾ down 9¼. May corn $5.5 up 3, July $5.25 up 3/4, December $4.92¾ up 3/4. May soybeans 1502 up 18¼, July 1482¼ up 17, November 12.18¼ up 6. July soybean meal 484.50 up 6.30, July soybean oil 41.43 up 45. June live cattle 137.57½ down 7½. May feeders 184.95 up 35. May lean hogs 112.90 down 52½. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Technical damage being done on the corn chart with the gap lower, but also seeing some new demand coming into the marketplace. Balance those two things going forward.
Well, you know, as we look at here, we've got some people say ideal conditions, other people saying too wet, too cold, some people saying too dry, not enough moisture for as dry as the ground is. And also we're seeing continued good export sales, and, of course, the government pumping up the idea that they're continuing good export sales. So all that is sort of out there, and we're looking ahead with, you know, how soon weather premium goes out or comes back into this market, I think, is what we're looking at here, Dave. So, you know, we have we're back above $5 in the July corn here right now as we speak. That we've seen to hold our support points down there and hanging right close to that. The Dees corn, you know, we like you say, we went through the 92.5. We're back at 92.5 as we speak. And, of course, the no beans, you know, 1210 is the big support number. We don't want to close below there. And we're back at the 1218 here. So all those things make for nervous trade.
We looked at the planning report from yesterday afternoon, crop progress. To nobody's surprise, North Dakota barely started, 3% there. Minnesota far behind there. It's feeling a whole lot like last year.
You know, when you look at those areas, they are behind. And May 25th is the pre-plant or preventive plant date for North Dakota and northern Minnesota. Will we see them taking a look and maybe taking some of the preventive plant if they don't get in the field by that time and just saying, hey, the way things are, we can't get a crop moved out of our area and one along the way? And that could put a lot of change in people's attitudes if they would start taking the big numbers of preventive plant in that area rather than actually get it planted, even if it is a little late.
There was a little bit more money on the table last year than this year for the prevent plant, though, right?
Oh, yes, quite a bit more. So, you know, it does make, it wouldn't be quite the paycheck it was a year ago.
So it does appear that those states may have a lot to say in the near term about what potential lending stocks are in maybe the June and July WASDE reports.
Very much. I think that, you know, there's been three or four of the advisory firms have been talking about the last 10% of planning is more important than the first 90%, feeling that the Midwest basically was going to have a good chance to get everything in, and it was going to be our outlying areas that would make up the extra bushels that added to the carryout. And if they don't get planted, then the carryout doesn't go up as has been projected. And also, if we look at some of the yields, if they do go ahead and plant extremely late in those areas, why, it's going to be awfully hard to maintain a 165 yield.
Turn our attention to the soybeans, go a little deeper. Is the market vulnerable to long liquidation at this point?
Not yet, Dave. I think they're going to wait till after the crush report to see a lot of that. But yes, it is vulnerable to that because we have quite a few fund longs in this market. But they aren't seeming to want to give up as of yet, and they're still wanting to hang in there fairly well. We have a very tight old crop situation that is going to demand that we do actually import more beans than we've ever imported before, and we're going to have to see some movement up as we go along the way. So, it's all part of a logistics game and whether we can actually see the beans move into the U.S. To balance out the balance sheet. If we look at the basis levels and we look at where we were a year ago on those, it doesn't seem like the commercials are near as worried as some of the funds are about getting those beans moved into position.
68 million bushels of beans left to be shipped between now and the end of August. If you use the May 9th projection, are we going to get all that shipped?
Well, I would say probably not, Dave, and I say that out of the simple respect that if we do go up in prices enough, I think probably it won't be gone. And also, I think that there'll be some switching of destinations and rolling into new crop and some of that stuff. There always is and generally has been. So especially if things are very tight, I think we'll see some rolling into new crop.
Wheat futures, crop continues to deteriorate in Kansas and Nebraska, but it's not showing up on the big board.
That is one of the most frustrating things to a lot of traders as they look at things here today. We continue to see the planting, the crop ratings continue to deteriorate. We can see the U.S. sort of overestimate what was probably out there on the report, considering what the crop ratings are, and we continue to see them decline on the world numbers and feeling that that's out there. I think that the soft red wheat, of course, is better rated than the hard red. It's the hard red that's taking it that way. But the Kansas City wheats, July is still down 5.75 cents today, which seems very hard to take considering the crop conditions we see.
You think that traders have come around to the view that U.S. wheat is overpriced and we're getting outbid on just about every tender on the world market?
Well, I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, even if we don't have a lot of it here, basically we aren't selling a lot because we're the highest priced grocery store around because of our shortage here in the U.S. So maybe what it amounts to is we don't have to pay this much to get it because what we got is going to stay at home anyhow.
Let's look at livestock. It's fascinating. Feeders, the May, 184 and change. The August, 192 and change. So traders not in the mindset that things are going to improve throughout the summer.
No, I think, and there was a couple of news wires yesterday put out that don't get so complacent and think that cattle will sell off in a hurry here, even at the lofty levels we're at, because the grilling season's coming on strong, and the demand is staying very, very strong out there for beef here, at least for the first round or two of grilling seasons as we approach Memorial Day.
Do you think that late summer feeders could hit $2 a hundredweight?
Well, we're already sitting here. We've been up to 193.47 on the October feeders here already just today. $200 is going to be a hard thing to pump through, but it's only $7 away.
So, by all accounts, that whenever I ask elevator folk this question, they always say that there hasn't been a lot of corn and soybeans hedged, that people are very cautious, and that has also been the experience of some of the people we talk to on the air from our analysts. How much longer can they afford to be cautious?
How much longer can they afford to be cautious?
Yeah.
Well, I wish we knew the answer to that question, because I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of weather to go through yet. We, as we've said on the air, we'd like to be closer to the 40% to 50% sold, just mm-hmm. looking at what we think we should do. And because the prices are good and do a good return on investment, and we do that. But, if we have a weather scare this summer or do something along those lines, that'll yet to be seen how long they can wait and still be profitable. But if we have the El Nino weather, the cooler, wetter summer, and the very good prices or very good harvest come along that the government's doing, they should have done a lot more sooner.
Thank you, Wayne. Bye. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.